Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and today I'm going to present a few little ideas that I have, that others have, on online collaborations. Now, I think it's a very fascinating topic because online collaborations are really a part of the online e-learning scape that often doesn't work well at all. So if we're looking at places to identify and places to improve in our online arena, so to speak, we really, really need to stop the hemorrhaging in online collaborations. It's amazing how badly they can go. Now, in earlier posts, I talked about why online collaborations fail. I also talked about strategies for making them work. Now, those were functional strategies. I didn't talk about the composition of the team. Here we're talking about how diversity in the team members can really help the online collaborations be more effective. And by diversity, I think we have to be careful in our definitions. We don't want to say, oh, diversity is, it's all people from different this or that. You know, like it's very easy for people to sort of use politically correct ideas about diversity and reduce it to a very rigid notion of ethnicity. But it isn't really that. I mean, I'd like to look at diversity in terms of ethnicity and also backgrounds in terms of socioeconomic, also identity notions, like about orientation of oneself in terms of all sorts of things. And in an online environment, I would like to talk to you about thinking of diversity in terms of skills diversity, in terms of maybe access diversity. For example, how about for people who have low vision or for people who are having challenges with cognitive issues that are exacerbated by the online environment. For example, intrusive thoughts. I mean, sometimes visual things trigger intrusive thoughts. Not good. So, hence, I'm talking to you. Nice, huh? So, this is all to say that this is a little bit of a digression. It's a little bit of a wonderful introduction, correct, to what is going to appear on the eLearning Queen weblog in printed form, but also an introduction to what will appear in the future in talking about skills, diversity in terms of skills level, and the importance of having people with different skills, skill levels in online collaborations and how that leads to more effective e-learning and achievement of learning outcomes and goals. So the bottom line is that diverse groups experience higher levels of interaction and thus performance. So this results in persistence, higher persistence, I'd say, satisfaction, and retention in an online environment. Not bad, huh? This applies to e-learning as well as face-to-face settings, and it's reinforced by work I recently rediscovered, which was published more than 10 years ago by teams investigating the impact of diversity on team performance. Comparing task performance of homogeneous groups against the performance of diverse groups revealed a number of rather surprising things about how diverse groups interact with each other and achieve defined outcomes. In this case, performance was measured in two separate categories. There was problem solving, and then quality of interaction between group members. The researchers, who consisted of Watson, Kumar, and Michelson in 1993, found that the level of diversity of a team did have a measurable impact. Within the confines of the research, a, quote, diverse team was that one that contained a at least two or more nationalities and three or more ethnic backgrounds. In this case, I'd like to step back and say, okay, this is good. And I want to look at this at this point in time. In the future, I really want to see about looking at online collaborations with groups that include low vision as well as like high vision groups. Anyway, group heterogeneity was found that did a couple of things. I mean, if you have heterogeneous groups, it one, stimulates productive discussions, and two, it increases the number of strategies employed in problem solving. Isn't that interesting? Increasing the number of strategies employed in problem solving. And you're saying, oh, of course, because people who are from heterogeneous groups or from different backgrounds or in heterogeneous groups are going to, by definition almost, start thinking of things in different ways because that's their programming. So other findings included in this, in these results by Kumar Michelson, etc., in 1993, that small tasks are more effectively performed than complex ones. We're going, so it seems sort of obvious, but it's amazing how often that's ignored or forgotten. And short-term groups are dynamic, and they're characterized by high levels of productive interaction. So what does that really mean for us? Okay, a short-term group is characterized by dynamism. Well, what more perfect short-term group than in the online environment where you're not going to be together as a group for like 100 years or even a year, more likely 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 15 weeks, you know, the average duration of a course. So the implications for online collaborations are multiple. So one, okay, if you're developing an online course with online collaborations, encourage diverse groupings. Then two, assign tasks with simple structure. This simple structure can be accomplished rapidly. The tasks can be. Avoid complex tasks and problems and create building block approaches. Okay, be sure to, this is another point, ground the tasks and activities in a real-life situation that has an objective correlative in the phenomenal world, which is to say, make it something the group members can relate to, which can help them in their lives. Okay. There are many implications for future research, both in terms of workplace, virtual collaborations, and online learning. It might be interesting to see if there is a relationship between the level of communication and interaction in a diverse group, and a relationship between the level of communication and interaction and the level of satisfaction and persistence. Might be a little bit hard to like separate out those variables, but I think with a proper kind of research design, it would be fairly straightforward, fairly possible to do. Pretty exciting, huh? I think so. So, clearly, collaborations that frustrate team members lead to failure to persist. And they're thinking, okay, yes, if we zero in on collaborations that have a high frustration level, right, they're not going to persist. The people are not going to persist in it. Now, what leads to high frustration? And then you think, let's step back a minute, failure to communicate, failure to understand the goals, failure to understand the tasks and exactly what those tasks entail. So then we have to be careful not to have low communication types of groups and low and high complexity tasks, because it's demotivating, and that could be demotivating in the way that it affects completion, satisfaction, and retention rates. Now, if the converse is true, think about this. It would be very useful to take a close look at how diverse groups experience higher levels of interaction, communication, cooperation, task definition, etc. And then, as a result, the diverse groups are having higher levels of performance, which result in persistence, higher persistence, satisfaction, and retention. Okay, so it sounds really kind of tangled, and well, let's step back a minute, and let's put this in just like bullet point, clear forms. Let's like think of an example. If we have a group that's been together for a long time, and it's kind of a static group, and it's all the same kind of people, usually what happens is that there tends to be a lot of passivity, and they're not going to really like interact a lot. And especially if they're like long, complex tasks, one of the reasons that online collaborations fail is that a lot of students or members will just go, ugh, well, I'll let another person do all the heavy lifting. However, if it's designed correctly and you have diverse people who have completely different points of view, there tends to be a frenzy of chatter, of back and forth, role task clarification, identity clarification, role clarification. But that communication leads to the desire to go to the next step, which is to have like something that comes out of it that's concrete. So all the chatter, background noise, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff is good. And in my opinion, what's happening is that it's implanting the whole desire to see an outcome, and it's kind of kicking in the McClelland factor, the need for achievement. It's a need to see this positive outcome, the actual objective correlative to the all the activity. And if it, you know, that's a double-edged sword in terms of riskiness, because while it's motivating to have a lot of communication and then start engendering the need and desire to see an outcome, a worthy outcome, the other problem, though, the other thing to think about is if the converse is true, it's very risky if there's a lot of activity and people desire to have some kind of outcome. If there isn't any forthcoming, it won't be just demotivating. It will be disgusting to people, and they will not persist in the one task, and it's likely that they won't persist in anything that's similar. So all the more reason to put together collaborations that encourage a lot of communication through diversity and diverse approaches, and to structure the desired outcome in a way that it's pretty much low-hanging fruit. It's pretty easy to do. Take all, you know, get lots of low-hanging fruit types of tasks first, do those first, then be more complex, get to the more complicated rewards and outcomes, the higher hanging fruit. Oh, it's just like honey, right? When I was in Azerbaijan, people said that honey from the highest altitudes is the best. Nobody ever explained why, but that was just a belief. So I guess it's like a higher hanging fruit concept. Higher hanging the fruit, the more desired it is, the more you want it, the more you appreciate it once you have it. So honey from the top of the mountain is much better than the hive down in the desert floor. Okay, well, so much for that digression. I have really enjoyed chatting with you today. Please tune in again. I will have something soon. This is Susan Smith Nash, and you've been listening to A Few Thoughts on E-Learning. Thank you, and have a fabulous day.